how do we know there is a God? How do we know which God is the real God? Is Jesus really the Son of God? Is he one with God, or is he a lower being? Is Jesus really the only way to eternal life? How do we know? Can we know? In his gospel, John, one of Jesus' disciples, whose letter we've been reading here forever, it seems like now, he also wrote one of the gospels. In the gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 30, John wrote, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So John, who wrote this letter we've been studying, also wrote this gospel. And in his gospel, he says, I am writing this so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And that we have eternal life through him. In that gospel, John recorded some of what he saw and heard. He said, there's no way to write it all down, but he wrote enough of it. He recorded miracles, or as he called them, signs. And in those signs, he says, they reveal that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. He is in fact the Son of God. He recorded that Jesus walked on the sea as the disciples are out there struggling at the oars, probably 3 or 4 miles from the shore. And when the disciples saw Jesus, they were frightened. And John tells us in John 6:20, but he said to them, it is I. Don't be afraid. Ego, I, me. I am. I am. Don't be afraid. When God met with Moses at the burning bush, and Moses says, well, who do I tell them sent me? God says, I am that I am, or Yahweh, or just I am, as the people began to call him. Yahweh is I am. When Jesus says, ego I me, he's saying, I am, or Yahweh. Jesus is not identifying himself with God. He is expressing himself as God. Jesus is saying, I am. I am here with you. God is here with you. Job had written back in Job chapter 9, verse 8, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. And now here's Jesus treading on the waves of the sea, saying, don't be afraid, I am. Jesus is saying without saying, I am God. Don't you recognize me? As he walks on water. In John chapter 8, Jesus had an encounter with some Jews who claimed he was demon-possessed. And Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. They respond saying, what? What are you saying? We know you must be demon-possessed. Abraham died. The prophets died. But you say those who obey you won't die? Are you saying you are greater than Abraham? You're greater than the prophets? I mean, Abraham was the one who God made the promises through. Abraham was the one who God says, I will bless you and bless all nations through you. Abraham was the one who he promised he would give them land and make them into a great nation. The prophets were the ones that warned them about what was coming. They told them what God had said. They told them that God was going to send them into exile, but he would bring them back. It was through the prophets that God revealed that he would send a Messiah. And you're saying you're making yourself out better than them? Because they all died. And now you're saying those who obey you will never die? They said, who do you think you are? And Jesus said, Abraham looked forward to this day. He spoke as if he knew Abraham personally. Now, the people responded, you're not 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham. Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Again, in these few words, Jesus is claiming to be one with Yahweh. Imi, ego, imi, I am. The God of Abraham. The God who met Moses at the burning bush. The God who delivered Israel from slavery and brought them into this land. This Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic possessed by demons, or he is who he says he is. There's no other choice. Someone who claims to be God is either God or a liar or a lunatic. You can't say, oh, he was just a good man. No, he was either more than that or less than that. When Judas led a detachment of soldiers to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went out and asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. And when Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Ego, I'm he, I am. There is power in the name of Jesus. When we sing, I speak Jesus, we are proclaiming power in his name. Power that put a detachment of soldiers on their butts. That's 200 to 400 soldiers plus the temple police who accompanied them. That is power in a name. And John wants us to know that Jesus is one with the Father. And look at John chapter 17. I'm not going to read through any of those this morning. This week, look at John chapter 17. Make a note so you go back and look at it and see who Jesus says he is. He claims to be one with the Father. There's seven other I am statements, ego I me, in John's gospel that reveal Jesus as being one with God. Each is a sign or a witness or a testimony that Jesus is in fact God. And John was there and witnessed all of this, and he gives us a firsthand account. In the beginning of this letter we've been reading of John's, John reminds us that he was with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He traveled with Jesus. He was with Jesus early in the morning when he'd get up, and his breath probably stank just like ours do. His hair was probably messed up. But he heard the messages that Jesus preached. He saw the signs that Jesus did, and he wrote about them. He was there when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He saw his dead body, but he also saw him after he rose from the dead. And again, he touched him. And again, he talked to him. And again, he heard him speak. See, John is witnessing or testifying to that which he experienced walking with Jesus. And in his letter, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John wrote, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So he's now writing to believers, members of this church. Some of these people that were a part of this church have drifted away. They're pursuing other teachings that John, who was with Jesus, who heard Jesus, says those are false teachers. They're chasing after a lie. Some taught Jesus was just a man. He was the son of a carpenter. And in one day, he was baptized. And when he was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he became the Christ. He lived and taught throughout the land. But when he was arrested, the Christ left the man, Jesus. He didn't face death. God would not and could not suffer and certainly could not die. The Christ did not suffer on the cross. Some even said that when Simon of Cyrene was forced by the Romans to carry Jesus' cross, the soldiers got confused and crucified Simon instead of Jesus. There's multiple stories trying to discredit Jesus and who he was. And John writes in his gospel and in his letters that he writes so we will believe that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, the Messiah who came to deliver us from sin and death and to give us life, life full, life abundant, and life eternal. So picking up in 1 John chapter 5 at verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it's the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you may know you have eternal life. There's been a lot of discussion over the years through scholars about what did John mean when he said Jesus came by water and blood, or more accurately, through the water and through the blood. Again, those who had left the church, those who had separated out from John and his teachings, said that, oh yeah, Jesus came through the water. He came through baptism. That's when he became the Christ. But they said, oh, he didn't go through the blood. He did not die. He was either spirit and couldn't really die. He just appeared to be human. Or he departed man before his death. And John's testifying, no, that's not the truth. Jesus was fully human. Jesus was fully God from birth to death. John opened his gospel with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Nothing, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, contrary to those who had separated out from the church, John is reminding us that Jesus is God and always has been. He was God when creation happened. He was a part of creation. He is the source of life. He was baptized in order to identify with us. He went through the water in order to give us life. And he came through the blood, through his death on the cross, to conquer sin and death so we could have eternal life in him. I think Eugene Peterson in the Message translation did a good job of trying to capture what John is saying here. From the Message, it says, Jesus, the divine Christ, he experienced a life-giving birth and a death-killing death. Not only birth from the womb, but baptismal birth of his ministry and sacrificial death. And all the while, the Spirit is confirming the truth, the reality of God's presence at Jesus' baptism and crucifixion, bringing those occasions alive for us. To many, baptism is one thing, but to think that God would die for us, that's beyond what they could or what we can believe. Jesus' death reveals his full humanity. Gods don't die, or do they? No other so-called God would suffer for their people. It's such a sacrificial gift that we have a hard time accepting that God would do that for us. In his letter, John's reminding us that through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God is revealing himself to us. His teachings, his actions, his life, all of it reveals the character of God. Again, in John's gospel, in chapter 1, verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John is testifying to God's testimony. He says in his letter, we accept human testimony. How much more should we accept the testimony of God? John says, there's three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. At Jesus' baptism at the water, we're told just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Or when Peter and James and John went up on the mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah showed up, the three of them had a meeting and the disciples didn't know what to say or do. Peter offered to build shelters for all of them. And then a cloud came over and it covered them. And the voice came from the cloud and said, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. And they looked around, and only Jesus was there. The Father himself testified that Jesus is his Son, and the Spirit descended on him. We see the Father and the Son and the Spirit working together to restore humanity from our brokenness, to deliver us from sin and death, to usher in the kingdom of God, where God's people represent a different way of living, different from the rest of the world. At the cross, Mark tells us darkness came over the land from noon until 3, what's normally the brightest time of the day. And he says, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. We have account after account after account testifying, revealing Jesus as the Messiah, but not the Messiah as Israel was looking for, but so much more. The evidence is there. We have to decide, what will we do with this evidence? Will we accept it or will we reject it? John said in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 5, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Do we believe God's testimony? Do we believe what he tells us through his Word? by his actions. Way back in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, God said, "You are my witnesses," speaking to Israel, "and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." God is telling Israel that you are the ones who have seen what I can do. You are the ones I revealed myself to. And you're to tell others with words and with actions. You are to be my witnesses to the world, so others are drawn to me and will come to me. And then in 43:25, he reminded them, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. That was between 500 and 600 years before Jesus showed up. And he says, I am the one who removes your sins. He is the one who will restore us. And they were to be his witnesses. Israel was to be his witnesses. And they didn't understand it when Jesus came. Many didn't believe that he was Yahweh in the flesh and came to blot out our transgressions and to remove our sin. They did not believe God's testimony about what he was going to do. And when Jesus came, the responsibility to tell what God had done shifted. After his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are his witnesses. We are his servants. He has chosen us to share the good news. We are the ones who get to go out and show what God wants to do in the lives of people. We get to share his good news to the world. How are we doing? Baptism and the cross witness that Jesus came to wash away, not just cover over, but to wash away our sin. He came to give us new hearts with a new mission. The water and blood are the witnesses, and both of them point to death and life. And the Spirit as well points to death. We die to ourselves as the Spirit fills us. We die to our old way and we have new life. Baptism, we die to who we were. We rise new in Christ. And the blood, we remember that through Jesus' blood, we die and we are resurrected with him. These are the witnesses he's given us. And we get to participate. We participate when we're baptized. When we participate when someone else is baptized, when we remember our baptism, we participate when we receive the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ. We remember that we have died and we are resurrected because of Jesus' death and resurrection. I got stolen by the grave robber. Picked me up from that rock bottom, washed my soul in that holy water, brought me back to life. That's one of those times, again, I wish I could sing. Because I like that hard guitar to get, you know, I grew up back when that was big. Anyway, we remember, washed in the water, cleansed by his blood. We get a new relationship with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. And that curtain ripped, beginning at the top and came down. God was no longer separated from his creation. Something new was happening. God was able to dwell with his people. The barriers removed. Through our lives, give testimony to God's transforming presence in the world. Do people see Jesus through the way we live our lives for the kingdom of God? And that third witness he speaks of, the Spirit. The Spirit was sent to be not just with us, but to be in us. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to us and witnesses through us. The same Spirit that descended on Jesus like a dove now comes and fills us and guides us and convicts us and draws us to Jesus. We come to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit always points to the Father through the Son. And John tells us in the second part of verse 6, and it is the Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is truth. On our own, we would continue to just run away from God. On our own, we are self-centered and we would not even care what God had to say. On our own, we are self-centered and we would only use people for our own satisfaction, our own benefit. But the Holy Spirit pursues us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. It is the Holy Spirit who testifies to our hearts and begins to open up our eyes to see the eternal unseen part of the world. It is the Spirit who put that thought in line A in my mind, said we ought to go to that little country church that was near our farm a few years after we got married. It was the Holy Spirit who put that hunger and thirst for more of Jesus in my heart. It was the Spirit that revealed the truth that I am a sinner headed to hell no matter how good a person I may have thought I was. It was the Spirit that revealed that knowing about Jesus was not enough, but God wanted me to know him and be in a relationship with him. It was the Spirit that drove me to my knees to pray, here I am, Lord, use me any way you want, anywhere you want. It was the Spirit, through the Spirit, that I was able to pray, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is by the Spirit that Scripture becomes alive as we read it. It's the Spirit that takes this old redneck country boy's words, and between my mouth and your ears, he breathes life into that and does something in your hearts. It's the Spirit who witnesses to you and draws you towards Jesus. It's the Spirit who moves in your heart as we sing or read Scripture. We sing, so come on down, Spirit. And when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know it. You are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. But here's what's really cool. We don't have to call the Spirit to come down. He's with us. He's in us. It's our awareness is what we're really seeking. His presence becomes evident when we sing songs like this. The Spirit is here whether we feel it or not. Amen. But man, we pray, God, Spirit, reveal yourself to us. And that's when our hearts start to pound. That's when the tears begin to fall. Sometimes we don't even know why. That's when we begin to purge the things that are not of God. And we allow the Spirit to fill us to overflowing. And it's the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Here's another cool thing that God does. When we share what God has done in our lives, or is doing in our lives, when we talk about Jesus, the Spirit testifies to the heart of the person we're talking to. If we stumble over our words, if we feel like we're not qualify, if we think we don't know enough in order to share, we just have to remember the Holy Spirit is present in that moment. We are witnesses. Oh, the theology would come, and it's good to study and learn more. The biblical understanding will come, and it's good to grow in that. We should be growing in that. But when we share our story, When we share how we have been transformed by the water and the blood and how Jesus' life, death, and resurrection change our hearts and our lives, the Spirit testifies truth. And when we leave those conversations, we can know that the Spirit continues to testify to that person. It may be minutes, it may be years, it may be decades, but those words don't fall to the ground empty. They plant a seed. And at some point, that seed may start to take root and begin to grow. And we may or may not ever know it. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the water and the blood. You will be my witnesses in Preston and Hurlock and Denton and Ridgely and Easton and Tillman and St. Michael's and Royal Oak and Trapp and Cambridge and Madison, Bosman, Centerville, Cordova, Federalsburg, Greensboro, Newcomb, Oxford, Queenstown, Sherwood, Whitman, Still Pond, or wherever else you come from or go to. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And this morning, we're going to come to this table that God invites us to. The table that was set by the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's a table where we come and we remember that Jesus, fully human, died for us, as hard as that is for us to fathom. But in the midst of that, we also remember that He rose from the dead. And we remember that He talks about in that day when He returns, there's going to be a marriage supper. We're going to gather around the table with Jesus. And we're going to share together. So as we come here, we are preparing for that. We are coming together and receiving the bread, the body of Christ. And we are receiving this juice, the blood of Christ. And we are remembering that Jesus came to give us new life. And as we take this, it nourishes us spiritually to go out and be His witnesses, to testify about the water and the blood, and that the Spirit is moving and wants to transform other people's lives as well. He doesn't save us to just sit here. He saves us to go out and be His witnesses. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, thank You that You're always here with us. We don't have to say the right words to conjure up something to get You to show up. You are here. And You're pursuing us more than we're pursuing You. Lord, if there's people here this morning that have never given their life over to You, may today be the day when they say, "I want Jesus." And that they surrender their heart to You and recognize that You died to give us life. Life eternal, but even life abundant now. The ability to go through difficult times and know that You are in the midst of the difficult times with us. This morning, Lord, we just say, "Jesus, show us. I give it all to You. I'm just going to trust You in this, because I trust Your testimony that You are God and You lived and died for us." And Lord, as we come to this table, We receive this bread, your body. We receive this juice, your blood. It's this new covenant you give us. We don't have to live by the law. We live in a relationship with you, and you come into our lives and you guide us. And Lord, as we receive this bread and juice, your body and blood, use it to nourish us. Use it to give us boldness to share what you have done and what you want to do in our lives. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.